Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an NFT episode about NFTs. I mean, it's very interesting, this whole world that we're moving into. And if you stick around for the Patreon portion, if you're a subscriber over there at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, I get into a very interesting speech from the Davos, however you want to pronounce it. I say Davos, but the World Economic Forum. There's a very interesting speech that I came across actually very recently, and it's gaslighting on another level. It's fear porn on another level. It is so many things, and glossing over the fact that it's an atheist talking about, you know, creating a new heaven and a new hell and all these things. It is dark. He compares human beings to rats. He compares a lot of things to a lot of things that just shouldn't be compared from a quote intellectual. This guy's an author. He's an Israeli. He's an interesting dude. So I hope to see you over there, because I read the entire speech and I break it down. It's a 20-minute long speech. I read it to my best ability. And I give my thoughts, and then I break it down the same way that I came across it. I heard the speech first, actually heard of the man first, without knowing anything about him, went and read the speech, watched the speech, read the speech again, watched the speech again, and then I read it to the Patreon subscribers and gave my thoughts throughout. And then I did some research on the guy. And brought that forward too. And that's where I found out he's an atheist, even though he's talking about God and hell and heaven and all these things. Scary stuff going on over there at the World Economic Forum. Shout out Klaus Schwab. I know you're listening, buddy. But yeah, man, just had Christmas. This is the first episode after Christmas, one of the last ones of the year. And I hope that it, you know, teaches you something. I brought on Ryan Hoag. And if you're a YouTube subscriber, you know, which is free, you may have seen this one. You know, we did the visual part of this, and so that's what you're going to hear here. But, you know, I hope that you'll listen to it anyway, because, you know, I do get a lot of traffic from the podcast feed. Not enough over at YouTube, not enough at Patreon. But, you know, as long as I can bring some new information, that's always fun. And I'm working on an episode about the Pilgrim Society, which I think is going to be hopefully enlightening to a lot of you guys. I will be honest. I hadn't heard of the Pilgrim Society, but I heard about them, realized that they are, if not at the top of the pyramid, they're quite high up. I just bought a Jim Mars book about secret societies, listing tons of secret societies, and the Pilgrim Society is not in there. So I'd be interested if any of y'all have a secret society book that talks about the Pilgrims Society, not the Pilgrims, but the Pilgrim Society, based out of the Great Britain, right? So we're going to be talking about that. And hopefully I have a really cool guest coming on that will be the episode directly after this. So I'll, you know, I don't know how I would let you guys know other than just when we start it, it'll be her. You know, she's a phenomenal mind. Very, very profoundly weird theories that she has. And when I say weird, you know, I love weird. I'm not saying weird in a negative connotation at all. This woman is brilliant, brilliant. And I'm excited to hopefully share that with you. So going to finish the year strong, like I promised, and then rolling into 2022 even stronger, hopefully. So it'd be cool, guys, if we could finish the year with 120 Patreon subscribers. At 112 now, I just need 8. $3. Not going to miss it. Patreon.com/DangerousWorldPodcast. And of course, DangerousWorldStore.com. Get your t-shirts, get your hoodies, get your stickers, whatever you need over there if you want to support the show. And that way, that's great too. So I don't want to make this intro too long. Episode with Ryan Hoag. He's a great, great dude. Very nice. I think I'm the only podcast that he's been on, which I'm honored because the guy's extremely smart. He's got a YouTube channel. That's like YouTube goals right there. He's got a massive YouTube channel. Massive for me, at least. He's not in the M's yet, but he sure got some freaking numbers over there. And what he does is he teaches you, if you're interested, in how to make money in the digital realm. Doesn't have to be NFTs. We just talk about NFTs for this particular episode, but he does like Amazon selling. If you have your own website and you're selling, let's say t-shirts like I do, he teaches you the most efficient ways to not only design t-shirts if you're going through a third party, but getting them out, shipping advice, all kinds of things that you need to know. He's got a large following, like I said. So check out Ryan Hoag, Passive Income on YouTube. You'll see him on my Instagram every once in a while too. So guys, let's get into this one, man. This is fun. I hope that if you have already seen this on YouTube, you'll at least give me the listen here for a little bit. And if nothing else, head over to patreon.com/DangerousWorldPodcast. Plugging in heavy. Okay. I want to finish out 120 this year. That's a goal. I'm seeing it. It's on my vision board. I don't have a vision board. I think those are bullshit, but it's in my mental vision board. So thank you. And we'll do one more, two more episodes before the end of the year. And then happy New Year's to everybody. So enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to walk into the weird world of NFTs and the metaverse and all this crazy stuff, man. And as soon as I wanted to do an episode about this, there's this guy that I met a while ago. We talked about DARPA back when Brandon was on the show, Ryan Hoag. And he is not only super deep into all this stuff, he's a fellow truther, he's an entrepreneur, and he helps try to educate people on how to make passive income and make make money in the digital world, man, because a lot more people are starting to get pushed into their homes, and it's very, very it's a weird time for anyone trying to, you know, make their own money. So Ryan, what's going on, dude?
Yo, man, it's been too long. I'm glad you asked me to be back on the podcast, man. It was great talking with you guys about DARPA and all that good stuff, man. And this isn't too far removed from our previous conversation, so I'm excited.
Heck yeah.
Also, yo, let me shout out to, you told me to shout it out. For anybody that maybe had to like leave their jobs due to mandates or whatever reason, recently, you know, check out my YouTube channel. It's Ryan Hoag Passive Income. Maybe you can throw a link in the description or something.
Absolutely.
And, you know, tons of free content. I usually do daily videos just talking about like ways to make money online, and not all of them really even require like you putting money in. So it's pretty much like a lot of it's like harmless ways of like generating income that, you know, you can scale up and make a living, you know, doing as well like I do. So,
yeah, dude, you know, it's interesting because I used to think that obviously it is very difficult selling on Amazon and doing all these kinds of different things, but, you know, I've never had any luck with it, dude. I've tried it a little bit. And actually, it's funny that we're talking about this today. I had a major, major mishap with my Coinbase wallet, and it's getting resolved. But like $400, which is a lot to me, was missing for a short amount of time. It was terrifying. It really, that's the kind of stuff that's scary, dude. And people need to learn how to interact with the digital world. I was thinking the other day at Walmart, man, people that don't even understand what crypto is at all are going to be fucked in like 5 years.
Dude, I'll say two things. Like, it's funny you said the issue with Coinbase, because like just yesterday, I have a second YouTube channel where I talk about like, you know, investing kind of stuff, whatever I want to talk about. It's a smaller channel than my main one. And I just dropped a video on like just the need to know about like spoofed emails that try to screw you over by stealing your logins. The importance of like two-factor authentication. And then also there's like an anti-phishing phrase that you can set, where basically like anytime you get emails from a platform, like a cryptocurrency exchange or something, they'll put like the phrase in the email so that you know it's real, as opposed to like somebody who just gets your email address somehow and sends you a fake one, like wouldn't know. So there's a lot of, you know, yeah, it's tough, man. It's getting tougher and tougher. The divide between people that have that technical mind versus, you know, everybody else is like, it's getting wider and wider. So yeah, just gotta be safe.
Yeah.
Dude, the second thing I was going to say, bro, real quick, yeah, is, dude, with crypto, man, they're building like these layer two solutions, which, without getting like too involved into like what that means, it's kind of like how like you know, when like the cash was backed by gold, you could say that like cash was a layer two solution. And then instead of like people carrying cash, they built the credit card network, which is like a layer two solution, because at that point we weren't backed by gold anymore. But if we were, it'd be like a layer three solution, right? So it's like, you're going to have to transact with gold. Now you can transact with cash, which are debt notes, right? I owe you this much gold before we were off the gold standard. And then after that, it's like swipe your credit card and it's like the digital IOU between the banks, and they'll get that resolved later, you know?
It's incredibly interesting, especially when you realize, I actually want to talk about like a basic level economic stuff with you at some point, because maybe even right now since we're starting off, but it's very interesting when you realize that I think, what is it, like 10% of the cash that is in people's bank accounts is actually real cash. Everything's digital. I mean, there's not enough real cash in the world. If everyone wanted to pull their money out at the same time, I mean, that's not a possibility. So that's very interesting. And are you concerned at all with the climate in the United States and the world economy, just, you know, how things are going right now, dude, the supply chain, all that good stuff?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you said it right. And it's not even 10%. So it's definitely lower than that for sure.
I was being generous, right?
Yeah. You're being generous. If you, you know what, like kind of brought me to the dark side over 10 years ago was watching a documentary called Zeitgeist. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, dude, it is incredible. The first one is really good.
Yeah. That's what got to me, man. That kind of like opened my brain to that like next gear of like, oh, what's really going on in the world, you know? And, even though it's an old documentary, man, if y'all, you know, have time, check it out. And they talk about fractional reserve banking in that documentary. So that kind of, you know, it's like some people watch that and it's just like in one ear, out the other, but like that stuck with me forever. I couldn't like unlearn that concept of like, you know, they gave the gold to the banks and the banks started to realize like, hey, like, you know, nobody's coming to get the gold really. And they're trading these like paper slips back and forth of like the IOUs for the gold. And they realized they could just issue more of those slips. You know, and even to this day, it's kind of funny because like, yeah, number one, we think of cash now. The cash isn't there. If we all went and did a bank run, like it wouldn't work. And there's even something called like bank holidays, by the way, where it's like they just close down all together at the same time. There's like weird things, man. I'm not like a true expert on it, but I definitely study it in my spare time. But yeah, I was going to say that like, even to this day, like we're talking about gold, like precious metal markets are artificially suppressed big time by people like JP Morgan. And it's only possible because they issue, you know, I don't even know the actual number. It's probably like 100 to 1 or more slips representing physical gold per 1 ounce. You know what I mean? So it's like you have 1 ounce of physical gold. They'll issue like 100 of these, like, you know, theoretical paper. They call it the paper trade, right? And then they can artificially suppress or inflate pricing through, you know, financial markets and the financial instruments that allow them to do that, you know, options and whatever. They're all just like the derivatives market, man. It's huge.
And it's incredibly complex and it's not sexy information to learn. You know what I mean? Like this is stuff that like, you know, when you learn about economics and what is it like the von Mises Institute and all these weird, weird things where it's like, dude, like none of this is fun to learn about. Like, in my opinion, NFTs, I think it's very interesting to learn about, dude. I was like, you know, I did a Patreon a while ago where I was kind of clowning on people that were excited about it because it seems goofy. It seems very, very weird. Even like the videos where you have the guys were like, why screenshotting an NFT doesn't matter. And it's like, well, I get that for sure, because you have the ownership, but you can still show people the picture of this bored ape or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Would we be jumping the gun if we kind of gave our opinions right away about NFTs?
Bro, we can jump the gun, man. And then I'll elaborate. But I'm with you. I'm in the same camp as you. But that doesn't mean that like the concept of NFT, which stands for non-fungible token, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have its place in the future or even like right now. You know, it still conceptually like makes a lot of sense with where things are headed. You know, the internet's been a part of like everybody's lives for a long time now. It's not like, you know, we're saying anything bold by saying that it will continue to be a part of our lives and things will continue to get digitized. And like we were just talking about, man, you don't trade gold anymore. Like you literally like you trade paper gold on a console. You know, and it's like we're so far removed from even 100 years ago how life used to be. You know, I was just listening just before this, man. I was working out and listening to a podcast, the Confessionals podcast, which is not really conspiracy. It's just like people call in like share cool stories, man. A lot of it's like paranormal. It was a podcast
about Tony Merkel, dude. Shout him out, Tony Merkel, dude. Sick.
Yeah, dude, and it was like about like a gold heist, basically, like how like a story from 100 or 200 years ago, basically some people like ran away with some gold and these people found it and the FBI comes and takes all of it, dude. Like, of course, that's how it ends. But yeah. It's like just thinking about back in the day when that initial gold found its way into that mountain buried as far as like 17 feet underground. It's like, dude, they were doing that because like back then they didn't have the internet to trade a derivative, like to trade some representation of the gold. They actually had to move the gold, you know?
Very interesting.
It's crazy, bro. Or like, dude, real quick, like I think it was like France that sent a warship to New York to collect their gold, because this was back after a Bretton Woods agreement where basically the United States became the world reserve currency and it would be backed by gold. But then people started realizing the United States was devaluing their gold to print more currency. And like literally France sent a warship and was like, give us our gold. Because they were like, you guys are screwing us over big time. You know what I mean? Because the United States could say gold is worth $100 an ounce. And they could just be like, gold's worth $50 an ounce. And we just doubled our cash supply. You know,
that's kind of what oil is right now, right? Wouldn't you agree that oil is kind of taken the position of gold?
It kind of has, in the sense that like, that's what, you know, as the world reserve currency, like, you know, you gain that status from people using your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And people are using the dollars, you know, the petrodollar, right? They use it to buy oil from like the Saudis. It's giving that utility, right? And creating demand for dollars. But now it's actually become a little bit of a problem, man. I know we don't want to make this a finance podcast. We'd have some fun with it. Like,
but well, I think it's interesting too. And it's so important right now. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're talking about this NFT stuff, but it's interesting that you know all that stuff and that you're throwing it out so quick, because did you go to school for any of this stuff, or how did you learn all that? Just self-taught?
Dude, as soon as I left my job in like February 2020, I just like really deep dove into this shit. Like, that's really all it was, man. Like I worked as like a web developer and a teacher, left my job before it was cool to leave your job. You know what I mean? And I was teaching web development. I actually just left my job over the jab mandate. So I'm with everybody else that had to do that. But, I was cultivating all these like side income streams, you know, just kind of having fun with it too. You know, I kind of like learned to love it. And then when you make the money, like the passive income, you got to figure out what to do with it. So I watch a lot of, just like all day, just kind of listening to smart people talk about, well, I listen to a lot of conspiracy, but it's not like the conspiracy culture is not far removed at all whatsoever from like money markets, right? Because like, there's a lot of truth in money, and the conspiracy is another word for really the truth community, right? And
yeah.
They end up going hand in hand a lot. I know people like me that watch a lot of the same people, like the big names on YouTube. These people end up having the same kind of like fringe conversations about like the reality of the world. You know, they turn into what people would consider conspiracy channels before you know it.
Well, yeah, dude, when you're talking about money, I mean, that's the biggest conspiracy of all. I mean, like the Federal Reserve banking system and all this stuff. And you know, we're talking about our money being backed by petro. It's petrodollar. In my opinion, it's the gun dollar, man, or the military dollar. I think that's the mm-hmm. only thing keeping our U.S. dollar up where it's at right now. And this is kind of something that's widely understood by a lot of people. But it's very interesting, dude. But to get back into NFTs, like we were saying, seems like there's something goofy going on with it. But as I was looking more and more into it, it does seem like it's got a potential to make a lot of people a lot of money. And it doesn't feel as much like a scam to me. But I want you to break it down the way that you understand it, because if people are forced into their homes, like we're saying, what a great way to make some money, dude, just selling digital art. You know what I mean? It seems like this is being kind of like laid up, you know, to make it so that, yeah, everyone's forced inside. But you know what? They don't care, because instead of like flexing a big house that they have, they're showing all their digital world. I saw Snoop Dogg just got into the digital realm, dude. That's mind blowing to me. I have this video that I can show. If you talk for a minute, I can pull it up. It is really, sure. really interesting, because he's got like his own world going. I think it's called the Snoopverse or some shit like that. It's just very, it's very interesting, dude. But yeah, go for
it. It's a cash grab right now, man. But
absolutely. It's the Wild West.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing, right? Like, I'll try to keep my responses not too long, but I do want to just touch on like, you know, it's right now it feels like a lot like a cash grab. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the Wild West when people heard there was gold and people went out there and they might've said, yeah, I'm moving out here to start a life. But in reality, they were hoping that they would get rich right away. Right. They didn't necessarily like care if they were going to stay out West. Right. Right now it's kind of like, hey, Snoop Dogg's going to launch a project on this blockchain and hopefully people care and pump the bags really quick. But like, again, man, call it what it is. You and me are realists, I think. Like, it's people speculating that when they buy something, they will be able to sell it to somebody else for more later on. That's what it is. The utility behind these things, conceptually behind NFTs in general, is rock solid. It has a place in the future of all of our lives. Right now, there's an accessibility issue where it's tough. Okay, there it is. You want to show?
No, go ahead and finish your thought.
Bro, I'm just saying, like, no, just show this and then I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah. People listening to the podcast version, this there's a bunch of like 3D Minecraft looking things dancing. There's a Raiders logo. I'm sure the Raiders love having that in there. Snoop's lawyers will be hearing from them soon.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, come on now. I know that you have a social life, that you're not like a loser, right? Like, does this look fun to you? Because like, as somebody who has talked to girls before and, you know, actually done things with my life, like this doesn't look fun. This looks lame, like lame as hell.
It's goofy. But at the same time, if people are trapped inside, right? I think that this COVID stuff is going to be very interesting, because I think that this will directly play off of the COVID world, right?
And do you believe in coincidences?
Absolutely, to an extent, but not like this. Not the
COVID right. Stuff, that all right? of this stuff just coincided perfectly. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we all know about Operation Lockstep, dude. You know what I mean?
I hope everybody listening does. If you don't, like, please go back. It's like at this point, what, 10 years old, 11 years old? Go read it.
Yeah, the Rockefeller system, and basically we're following it to a T. And you know, for people that don't know, Zuckerberg and Bill Gates are following the Rockefeller Foundation's models and how they're doing things. So, but the whole meaning of this post was some dude paid $450,000 to be Snoop Dogg's neighbor in the metaverse. So, I mean, this is like real prices that people are paying to live in a fake world. So there's something dark about it, dude. It's
But dude, we also need to mention one thing. This is the thing that, like, when I talk about people or with people about like the concept of metaverse, man, like this is where I think I'm kind of unique in that, like, I'm pretty well versed in a lot of shit because I just study, man. It's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I have a technical background, so I kind of get like at the core of like what's going on. And like, we just watched like a flashy post of like what looks like a video game that could have been released 20 years ago, right?
Minecraft.
On Super Nintendo. Yeah. You know, so it's like, if we just hit the reset button in our brain, like what did we really just see? You know what I mean? We saw an ad for something that's pretty fucking lame, if you ask me. Like, I don't care what anybody says. It's not like, would you rather go to a Snoop Dogg concert or put on a VR headset and go in that shit? Like, you'd rather go to a concert every time. So,
dude, I'm glad he said that, actually. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, like this concept of metaverse, dude, like I think 99.some% don't get it. Like, let me just clear it up for you. Like, a metaverse is just any attempt at creating the digital equivalent of three-dimensional space in real life. And it doesn't need to be three-dimensional. It could be two-dimensional, right? Do you get what I'm saying, though? It's just like the World of Warcraft. But the World of Warcraft in its current state is like, it's not built on the blockchain. So we can't like change the World of Warcraft, right? Like, we know that the same NPC robots are going to be there every time. And when you talk to them, they're going to say the same shit, right? Like, we can't change the environment. Whereas like what they've done is they've just basically taken it a step further and they've said like, okay, here are the pliable things that you can change in this world, including like you can own a piece of land. Now, what does that really mean? Like, behind the scenes, man, this is all ones and zeros. It's all digital, right? But they're putting a GUI, right? A graphical user interface to make it look nice, which is all anything we ever look at online is, right? Like web pages, games, et cetera. But behind the scenes, it's the same shit. And instead of like a central database where a central controller can exist, it's the decentralized model on the blockchain, so that when you issue a non-fungible token representing your ownership of that plot of land in the metaverse, right? Like, you actually own it, right? And you can transfer it to somebody else. But like in theory, behind the scenes, what's actually going on is like conceptually, it all makes a lot of sense if you're a fan of decentralized stuff, and it's not that hard to execute. But I did just want to mention one last thing too, before I forget. Like, there's not the metaverse. This is why I'm struggling to get excited about the concept of NFTs. Cause like all of these blockchains, right? They're different blockchains for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we talk about the metaverse, but there's not the metaverse, man. There's like Decentraland is a big one. There's another one called like Axie Infinity. You're looking at one called Earth 2, right? And I'm sure this will be its own, but like these are independent of each other.
Yeah.
Like what I'm thinking, if there's ever going to be mass adoption, which, you know, look no further than Fedbook, right? Like Facebook, who coincidentally, right, the day after they ended Project LifeLog with the CIA, Facebook gets incorporated. You know what I mean? Do you believe in coincidences? Wink, wink, like wake up. And these are going to be the guys leading the charge into what's going to probably be the actual metaverse, right? Yeah. Not just like what we call the metaverse, but it's Snoop Dogg's bullshit one that nobody's going to care about in 2 months.
Snoop, yeah, it's a fad. Like you said, it's cash grab. So, I mean, like, he's a businessman. He's not a gangster anymore. He's been doing business with Martha Stewart and all these things. But, yeah, man, it is. You brought up a lot of good points right there. And, yeah, this Earth2.io is all about that digital land stuff. I mean, it's really weird how you can go and buy digital land, in my opinion.
But, bro, we can do this. That's what the point I was trying to make is that we can do this. It's yeah. It's as valid and relevant as we make it through our marketing efforts.
Well, and I mean, you were mentioning things like The Sims. There was a little fad for a while where like these simulated reality games were huge back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. I was a big fan of this game called Zeus, and you build a Greek city, and it was so dope, dude. Like you worship all the gods and build temples to the gods. It was kind online? Of interesting. What's that?
Was it online?
No, it was just a PC game. It was just something super basic, but it was fun, man. And that's what you're talking about right there. That could be considered the metaverse.
Bro, it's the evolution, right? So go from that to single player offline. Then all of a sudden it's like Diablo 2. You're right. We all see the same map, the same landscape, the same NPCs saying the same shit, but we can see each other now, right? So we take it a step further. And then from there, it's like, let's go one more step further and say that you can, you know, quote unquote own, because right, what does it really mean to own, right? This is where that concept of like that square of land in that metaverse, you know, I'm using the buzzwords here, but I'm really trying to like demystify it. So we're all on the same page of what we're actually saying, right? You know, we're saying that that piece of land can be yours, and being yours again is another whole rule set that they create, right? That like, can you build on it? Like, what does that mean to build, right? Like they program all of that in. We still operate within the constraints of what's possible in that world, right? In that digital world. But the concept of non-fungible tokens allows somebody to take ownership of, you know, whatever it means to own that piece of digital land. And like, yo, NFTs, man, they have their place for sure. Like conceptually, they make a lot of sense. But what I'm just trying to warn everybody about is like, if you're thinking of this as a speculative cash grab, like just do your research. And like, my recommendation would be like, find the blockchains or metaverses, whatever, however you want to, you know, angle this. Find the ones with the most users, because you know what I mean? Like, cause ultimately, like that's what's making them relevant is people, you know, adopting them, right? Like,
yeah,
that's really what it is.
Just like anything else, it's a numbers game. The more people you're exposed to, the more people may grab whatever you're putting down, you know? You brought up the concert idea and like the virtual concerts. And I wanted to jump in on that, but you were on a roll, dude. So like this Travis Scott thing, right? That, in my opinion, was to try to push for more virtual concerts. But I thought that I don't think it worked very well, because you have like, what, 70,000 plus people, and like 8 people died, man. Like, it sucks. It's horrible. But like Michael Jackson concerts, more people have died at Beatles concerts. I mean, there's been high amounts of death. Guns N' Roses, a bunch of people died at one of their shows. Thinking about the numbers, I mean, the vaccine is more dangerous than this concert, and they're making it seem like this damn concert was like the concert from hell. And I don't know what you think about that, if you thought that was some sort of push, because he's big into the metaverse. He was doing that Fortnite concert, right? I don't know, dude. It seems like there's something there. There was something that they tried to put down there that not enough people really latched onto, because no one's talking about it anymore.
Dude, the news cycle definitely moves quick, man. That was one of those things I don't want to come at things from like certain events in our life, like without naming them, I'll give you the wink, wink, like definitely seem to have been pre-planned, right? Like certain big events,
certain numbers and things.
Ones, big ones. Cause you could make such a strong case that there was foreknowledge, right? So even if you don't want to believe it's planned, you can't avoid the facts that there was incredible amounts of coincidences leading up to them. Right. But then there's like the Travis Scott concert, and it's like, man, I don't know if it was something like pre-planned, part of an agenda or what, but for sure they're going to use it and mold it to further any agenda that they have. Like, that was a weird one though, bro. Cause like, I deep dove that for like 2 or 3 days, just trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. Cause the eight, if you went and like actually looked at the firsthand account of people that were there, like a lot of them said, man, it was more than eight people. So I kept wondering why they kept saying eight. Like, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. Like,
well, it's so hard to know
because we're hearing stories through computer screens. Like, who the fuck knows, you know?
Absolutely. Well, dude, I love the numerological aspect to all these things. And eight is very interesting when it comes to money. It's a number of wealth. They say if you're trying to sell things for T-shirts or anything, or like, let's just say it's a T-shirt. Selling them for $8 or $17 being the 1 plus 7 equals 8 or $26, 2 plus 6 equaling 8, 35, 44, 53. Things when you take the two single numbers and they add up to 8.
Right.
And if you looked at his concert set, there was 8 pillars of flames shooting up. So there was all kinds of 8s everywhere with that.
Dude, it ties to the Pearl Jam thing where 8 people died. Like, and he basically like something to do with the logo of Astroworld had something to do with the Pearl Jam logo where they had 8 people die. And then also, man, just I'm not the gematria guy, right? There's a great guy on his name's like Hubbard, I forget his first, Zach Hubbard on YouTube, and he does like gematria, look up gematria effect news.
Is he related to L. Ron?
Huh? I know, right
L. Ron Hubbard. Dude,
oh shit, someone's calling me one sec. All right, turned off the phone. But this is the thing, right? This was the thing that popped into my mind too. I didn't hear this anywhere, right? But when the Astro World thing was going crazy, did it not dawn on anybody? But like, I'm sure other people figured this out, that like Astroworld took place in Houston days after the Houston Astros played in the World Series. So Astroworld in Houston days after the Houston Astros played in the World Series. Like, anybody else? Like, that's a pretty crazy synchronicity, man. Like,
you're talking about freaking what was it? The big event. We'll just say it. 9/11. That's what we were talking about a second ago, right? And you had the Yankees in the World Series the year that that whole thing went down too. If I'm not mistaken, they were playing the Diamondbacks, right? So when a lot of these teams get to the World Series, and someone else brought that up a while ago on one of my shows, Colorado Dank, I'll shout him out. He's all into this very, very interesting symbolism when it comes to that. But yeah, dude, you have a lot of those kinds of coincidences. And when it comes to that day too, with Travis Scott's concert, he's dating what's her name? Kylie.
One of the Jenners. Yeah.
Yeah. Kylie. Yeah. They all kind of look the same at this point, but yeah, Demon's Kylie is the one he's dating. And a lot of people think that they're witches, and the mother, Chris, it was her 66th birthday that day. So that's fucking interesting too, man. You got coincidence after coincidence. Could have been some sort of sacrificial thing. There's all kinds of lawsuits pending right now. I don't think much is going to come from it. I haven't really been following it.
If anybody that's listening wants to dig deeper, the best one that I found like with theories is there's a guy named Isaac Weishaupt. Yeah, I know it's a weird name to spell, but like he has a podcast and he's on Instagram, and like he has written quite a few books, one of which he had to like pull down because it was a little too close to the truth. And he really studies kind of like the ritualistic aspects of spell casting. You know what I mean? Magicians, magic. I know that sound that, like, dude, like probably 5 years ago, we both would hear this shit and be like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now it's like, man, this stuff hits way too close to home, man, to real life. Like, cause he draws the parallels between what was happening at the concert. If you know what to look for, all of this stuff is extremely well documented throughout human history. Right. Like, but it's like, where can you go that really puts it all together? Well, this dude knows his shit, man.
And
like,
he does
some good short podcasts that you can listen to probably like an hour. You know what I mean? And he just draws the parallels for you. Make up your own mind, you know? But yeah, that was a really interesting event.
Yeah, dude, he's very good. There's a lot of people that are doing that, but I would say he's probably the best at it. Just kind of making it very concise. He's very like, I hate using the word hip, but he's always like using the, he's very current with what he's talking about. So it's fascinating. And my listeners and the people that I interact with, they don't think this is crazy at all. If someone stumbles upon this video, they might think like, oh, these guys believe in magic. And it's not magic like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. It's literally getting enough people to think about something. That thought creates some sort of energy, and then that may manifest. It may not. There's obviously a lot more to it than that. But yeah, dude, it's very interesting. Man, we're all over the place, dude. Real quick.
I love what you just said, man. And that's like one of those things that I think about all the time. And it's like, even if you don't want to believe it because you can't prove it, like, just keep in mind, man, everybody listening, the double slit experiment where, like, man, I'm going to do a bad job explaining it, but basically, like, what manifests as what we consider to be like physical reality, at the lowest level that we can measure, like they basically are those small atomic particles, man, subatomic particles, they vibrate in and out of this realm. They, like literally their existence fluctuates. And they proved in the double slit experiment, which can be replicated at any point in time, anywhere in the world right now, that if you have a conscious observer observing it, the waveform collapses. But in the absence of a conscious observer, it hits like everywhere possible. Like it expands to every state possible. You know what I mean? So the whole point of me sharing and doing a really bad job sharing that is that like there is significance in being whatever it means to be a conscious observer. Like that's kind of how we define the observer in that experiment. But like there's definitely something to us being alive, being conscious. And I truly, I mean, like, man, you know, they call it the secret or whatever, the power of belief. But like if you actually, yeah, here you got the double slit experiment on Wikipedia. But basically, yeah, they beamed electrons through a basically like a some piece of, I don't know if it's a piece of paper, but basically something that they had two slits cut out, and they realized if there's no conscious observer, it goes through both slits and creates an interference pattern. And if in the presence of a conscious observer, the waveform collapses and it only hits one.
Wow. Okay.
So we are significant, basically. You know what I mean? Like we know that. And there's other, there's way more experiments like that that are like, you know what I mean? No one would, we'd call that a conspiracy theorist until you realize that this is like national governments funding these experiments to like kind of figure out what's going on in this world that we share. You know, dude, it goes way deeper than this, man. They realize that you don't have to be physically present. You can literally think about it on the other side of the world and influence the experiment.
Let me show you this really quick, dude, because this is really interesting. This guy that I've talked with quite a bit, his name is Ron Robert Gavina Weed. He talks about some interesting stuff. Look at this. This is the sigil of Lucifer right here. Okay. And this is how light enters your eyes. Right. So the right visual field coming from like the left and right eye, and the left visual field coming from both eyes too. So look at that symbol and then look at how it would tie into this sigil of Lucifer and light coming into your eye. Lucifer is the light bearer, right?
Right.
It's the same damn thing, dude. So this is the kind of stuff that's that esoteric stuff. It's the
right,
the knowledge that whether you believe in it or not you, Ryan, but like just anyone listening, whether they believe in it. It's these people that are very elite seem to believe in it. That's why I always say, I say the same thing about Christianity or religion. It doesn't matter if you believe in the devil. It seems that these elites not only believe in the devil, but try to manifest something. I mean, look at CERN, dude. CERN, they have Shiva the Destroyer right outside, and right, they do no weird little. Yeah. And why they do ritualistic ceremonies, dances. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's magic.
And you want to know a crazy thing, dude? I don't know how we can prove this, but I saw somebody post it and like, it's right out there in your face. The QAnon shaman, bro, was like the main dancer at one of those, CERN events. He was the main guy in the, whatever you want to call it, performance, dressed like a goat, dressed like, you know, Baphomet, right? Is that his name?
Baphomet. Yeah. Wearing the same outfit.
Not the same outfit, but like, I don't know. I might be mixing the two, but like, dude, it looks exactly like him. If it's not him, then it's his stunt double. You know what I mean? And this was before January 6th.
Let's see if I can find it.
I'll send you the video, bro. I'll send you the video.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, it's something random, and I don't know that there was ever any attempt to make it anything deeper than it is, because it also could have just not been true, but it certainly looked like it.
Well, there were some interesting things with that whole January 6th thing too, since we're talking about rituals a little bit. Like the woman that died this... her name is slipping my mind. I can't believe that it is, because I'm so tired of hearing her name. The woman that got shot. Do you remember her name, Ryan? The guy, the lady
Ashley
that got,
Babbitt, I think.
Yes, Ashley Babbitt. I'm sorry, I forgot that.
I don't know how I remember that, by the way. Like, I don't follow too much like two party paradigm, like political.
You're
stuff,
deep in the queue, dude. Don't lie. You're a QAnon.
I swear, I don't know. I'm not.
I know. But
no, I just sent you the video, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Also, dude, if you want to, like, I don't know how long we're going to go, but if we want to rope this back to NFTs, I do have like a cool slant on the NFT stuff of like, that is kind of conspiratorial, but at the same time, also kind of like the logical outcome of all of this. You know, if you don't want to be a coincidence theorist, there's for sure some darker potential here.
Okay. Should we watch this video? Is it a long one?
I guess just like find the part where, you know, you can do it on your side and share when you find him, but it certainly looks like him, man, like doing a dance outside of CERN.
Did you shoot it to me on email?
I sent it to you on Instagram.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, dude, I'm going to check this out right now. But yeah, dude.
All right, then, I'm going to go off on the, so we're talking NFTs, right?
Yeah.
And again, guys, think of NFTs for what they are. Like, you know, we think of them in like the GUI, the graphical user interface representation, which could be like some shitty art or a piece of land in the metaverse, but it's the same thing behind the scenes, right? It's on a blockchain, it's decentralized. You have a non-fungible token. No one can steal from you. There's no central controller that can confiscate it from you. It is yours. Okay. That's why NFTs are cool, but they can also absolutely be weaponized. And it's not NFTs being weaponized, and it's not like a Bored Ape Yacht Club is going to come kill you, right? It's not that shit. It's the technology, man. It has the, just like previous technology in the past, it can be used for good. It can be used for bad. And when I say bad, I'm really always pretty much talking about central planning, central controllers, people with the potential to ruin our lives, man. Like, you know what I mean? They want to run everything. It may not be to kill us. It may just be to turn us into little like matrix batteries, right? In those little pods, whatever it is. But there's something called, well, the concept I wanted to share is this concept of the potential that they want to tokenize human life, that human life basically is the next thing to be digitized, tokenized, monetized, traded, et cetera. Like it's the next frontier. Like it is their vision of the future of commerce. It's not just human life, because that has like more of a morbid way of saying it, but like human productivity, human potential. And the way they do this, it doesn't even necessarily require a metaverse, because as we shift everything in our lives to digital, like they're basically making real life, like our experiences, into a metaverse by digitizing everything. The next step is that, you know, somebody, if I had to guess, Microsoft, creates a blockchain, or, you know, in partnership with the US government, but I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but like these large corporations basically either act on behalf of or are the new government, right? Unelected, public-private partnership, whatever, whatever. There's infinite loopholes that exist so that they have infinite pull, you know, over our lives, basically. Companies valued at like $2 to $3 trillion. And what is a dollar even? At that point, it's like you have infinite money.
Is it corporatism or fascism to you? I mean, because one, obviously corporatism is the government works to help the corporations, and fascism is more the corporations working to help the government. Do you think it's a combination?
Dude, I think it's going to be some weird amalgamation of like both, where I think of it as the technocracy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's big tech permeates our lives in ways that we don't even understand. And we become reliant on it. So we can't like not have it around us. And this is going to ultimately, because the trade-off is always going to be, oh yeah, you know, they need this from me now, but I can't imagine life without it. So, okay, they can have it. It's just like that, the frog boil. Little by little, we get sucked in. And there's something called the 2045 Project. So if you guys don't believe me that this is part of the vision for the future, even though it's kind of obvious if you just think about it, like the 2045 Project, it's an initiative as a nonprofit organization. They aim to develop a network of and community of researchers in the field of life extension, focusing on combining brain emulation and robotics to create forms of cyborgs. Like basically, they're aiming to extend human life through downloading consciousness to machine form, and then basically have, because you know, what is really like death, right? It's our physical body crapping out. They want to basically replace that with cyborgs and allow consciousness to, you know, prevail through death. And you know, that's kind of like, I guess, a positive spin until you realize that there's no chance in hell that me and you, Ryan, are a part of the plan to have that, right?
Like, dude, I would love for you to talk with this guy that I talk with a lot, Colorado Dank, about this topic. We're going to talk about Krampus on Sunday, because he's the guy that's very, very into taking the symbols and all this stuff. He's real. He's a religious dude. He's a Christian, but he will get into that dirty stuff too. He'll get into the weird, like it, like stuff that most like pastors and preachers and stuff won't touch. But he is very, very knowledgeable when it comes to this digital afterlife that they're trying to create with the, and he believes that the vaccines have a massive part of that, because the graphene oxide that's in these things probably just got us kicked off YouTube. But my bad, I forgot that I was putting this on YouTube. It's fine. We'll go for it. I'm sure that my channel is not going to last that long anyway, but yeah. So that thing that I mentioned, the hardest material known to man, as far as I know, it would take an elephant standing on top of a pencil in order to break a sheet of this stuff. So all of that weight focused on this tiny pinpoint, and those things are in the, what do we call them? The stab, the hit, we'll call it. These things are in there, man, and they're shaped like tiny little razor blades, and they go through and they do their work on your red blood cells. So it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Dude, the last time I was on your podcast, man, like you don't understand the, like, it would have been a terrible episode if you just let me go on a rant about it. But like, I had studied so much, and this was back before like people were talking about it, even in like the truth community or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, the same guy though, who I just sent you that had the QAnon shaman, you know, dancing at CERN.
I found that channel, part too, but go ahead.
Scroll back, man. And like his channel, he was like on the cutting edge. And this dude is like a smart as fuck. Like, I forget what his like job was before he got, you know, got kicked out, but like a physicist or something. Like, he's super, super sharp. Like, I'm an idiot compared to him. And he was the one that didn't set out with like a preconceived hypothesis that he wanted to prove. He set out with what the fuck's going on. And then he would just peel a little bit more back. And he actually put together, he's got a video. His name's Plasma on BitChute, man. Like, if you want to plug him, like, he's got good stuff out there. And talks about, like, this is the thing. Everybody needs to put aside like all of your biases. If you can just be objective, he shows how it is possible that they could be a, like, I'm not saying they are, and we're on YouTube here, so of course it's not actually happening. Wink, wink. Yeah. Assembling like nanocomputers inside of us. And like, dude, guys, do not listen to, I mean, I'm talking to your audience here. Of course, don't listen to the news. Don't Google things, DuckDuckGo them, and do a little research. Like, look up hydrogel, not nano, whatever. Look up hydrogel. That's what they call it. All right. Like, what was possible in like 2010, before 2010 even, that they publicly disclosed at the nano scale? Now think it's, remember, it's 2021 now, about to be 2022. Like, I have no clue even how to imagine what's possible, other than that, like, these nanocomputers have existed for well over a decade. If we knew about it publicly, then that means well over a decade, right? Prior to that, most sure. likely. And yeah, it's for sure possible. It was really all I was trying to say, but it's not just me saying it as a talking head on YouTube. It's that the actual like underlying tech, the R&D has been done and it's out there. So you don't need to take me at my word. You can go figure it out. Like,
no, I'm right there with you, dude. It's fascinating what's going on. And I think that these things all play off of each other. You know, as you go deeper and deeper down the conspiracy rabbit holes, you'll realize that it's all one big plan. The chemtrails, the thing that we were just talking about, these massive false flags that take our freedoms away, they all lead to one thing, lockstep. They all lead into one thing, right?
It's all interwoven, dude. And like what you were kind of saying too with the guy you're talking about with Krampus, bro, it's like what blows my mind is the, I guess it's harder to quantify and you could say like prove or whatever, but it's not that hard to imagine like the parallels between like the Bible and religion, dude. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you get into the truth community and like, if you have the time and you have it in you to like, kind of like really explore these things and try to be objective and not let your biases kind of make you want to believe something that may or may not actually be there. Like a lot of the shit that you can actually prove like is there, it's very complementary to other things. It's kind of like almost an ecosystem where they're all working together in a grand conspiracy. And again, it parallels a lot to the stories that we've been told, you know, for millennia, for how long we've been here, about, you know, religion dating back to like the Bible, man. Like, even it's though, yes, the Bible has been rewritten a bunch of times, we get it, but you know, the whole theme.
Well, yeah. And you were talking about Zeitgeist earlier. That's what's very interesting, is they borrow this story of Jesus from Ra and from all these other, you know, sun gods and things. It's crazy, dude. And I wonder, to try and tie it back a little bit, I wonder how NFTs play into the one grand conspiracy, right? I mean, do you have any ideas on this?
Dude, it's kind of like what I was saying, where I think the vision of the future from the central controllers is going to be, and it's not even far-fetched, man. It's that the potential to control every living human on Earth, the human capital, number one, it must be like quantified, right? And that's possible through digitizing us. And when I say digitizing, it doesn't necessarily mean like downloading consciousness and living forever. It means that, think about what most humans do for a living now. I mean, most probably don't, but a lot of them more and more sit at a computer and we click a mouse and a keyboard all day, right? So it's like our real life existence is being translated into like a digital existence that way. That's one way, right? And there's through all these like sensors. And last time I was on your podcast, I talked about the potential for what they're calling a global sensor grid, where there's going to be, I mean, I had a note here, it's something like 1 to 10 trillion sensors around the Earth. Wow. And sensors can collect anything. Remember, that can be like literally anything, right? It could be light impulses, sound. It could be in us checking our bloodstream, like anything, right? It could be outside, whatever it is, right? Taking pictures. But that's like something that I think it was Dennis Bushnell, who's chief of, what was he like? I forget what his
Well, you know, DARPA is going to have something major to do with this. And this is what we talked about last time.
But they're out. They're out there. It's like it's not even a conspiracy. Like this, Dennis Bushnell said this, right? And he is the NASA rep to the National Intelligence Council. OK, so this is like one of the highest up there dudes that you can take him at his word when he says something. He says nanosensors are becoming smaller and increasingly cheaper. Quote, the Pentagon tells me in 5 to 10 years. So this would put us in like 2022 to 2028 from when he gave the speech. 10 to 100 trillion sensors will be networked around the planet. Okay. And like every time you have a sensor, the data it collects is useless unless you can transmit the data, right? And then get it into the mainframe where you can have these, you know, big data crunching quantum computers, whatever, do something with it. And ultimately, like if they want to get to the singularity, you know what I mean? To like the ultimate form of AI that pretty much makes humans obsolete as soon as it actually happens, if it ever does. You know, you'll never get there without big data inputs. So this global sensor grid has the potential to collect enough information to make that a possibility. But how do you get there? You need really fast, short range, wireless connections to these sensors, AKA, you know where I'm going with this?
Should we say it?
5G, bro. Yeah, we said it.
Oh yeah, I thought we were talking about graphene. My bad, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Well,
and then that's another thing. That's another plugging into the sensor concept. Yeah.
Yeah, they're already talking about 6G, you know what I mean? And there is, did you see that document where, you know, the NIH is admitting that the CVID word would have some kind of relation to 5G? Did you see that yet?
I've seen, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was a conspiracy theory a while ago, man, and now it is fact. It's admitted by the gatekeepers of health, right? It's
well, there's so, a strong correlation between, yeah, like worse symptoms of the cerveza sickness and your relative location, physical location to like 5G infrastructure. Yeah.
Well, it started over there in the area where this whole disaster that shut down 2020 and we're still dealing with. They started testing out 5G supposedly over there in that city next to that lab, right? So it's very interesting, man. There's a lot here, dude.
I was going to say one thing too, man. Like these 5G phones, like, so this is something that I kind of learned recently because I had obviously, like, I mean, I study this stuff. I have an open mind and I kind of like want the facts, right? Yeah. So, you know, I hear conspiracy, but then I hear facts and I'm always like willing to write down the facts and kind of process them. Like, dude, 5G. It's short range wireless, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know how, like, we think of 5G, what do we think? We think faster data transmission, but like faster data transmission means that the like waveform of the wireless signal, it goes up and down faster, right? Like, you know what I mean? It completes the waveform faster. And in order for that to happen, like kind of the more, my understanding is like the more data it can transmit, the shorter the actual like emission can be.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, that's why, like, if you're going to like whatever outer space, you can, you know, you can't do like a 5G connection. It's going to get weaker and weaker. But like what they envision with the global sensor grid, and they want real-time data collection on everybody and everything. Yeah. So there you go. The EMF wave are like 5G is going to be short range, higher frequency, which we know is worse for humans. I've never heard anybody argue the opposite, by the way.
Yeah.
Like this is all a part of it. But dude, I was thinking to myself, how in the world are they going to roll this infrastructure out? They can't have 5G towers every 100 yards or whatever it ends up being.
I know how they're going to do it, dude. They're going to have every single, this is the Internet of Things. The computer has a Wi-Fi signal. The speaker has some sort of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth signal. My cup, my refrigerator, dude, my washing
machine. They're already doing it. It's these fucking phones, man. You can't see it when I pick my phone up in the Zoom. But it's the phones. And it's not a conspiracy. It's actually like, they call it a mesh network. And if you've got a iPhone on Verizon, like you have already most likely, you're a part of that 5G like mesh network infrastructure. And like if you actually get like an EMF wave detector and put it next to your phone, like, dude, it's going to be emitting crazy high levels. So it's one of these things where like, yo, y'all got to look out for your health. Because if there's one thing that if you disagree with everything that I've said so far, if there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that the people in charge don't give a shit about your health or mine. And they're not going to tell you that that the electromagnetic like radiation coming off your phone is bad for you. Right. So you need to look out for yourself, like straight up.
You follow
like,
don't Sparrow? Shit
next to you at night and stuff.
You follow Sparrow gear, the clothing?
Dude, I'm wearing one of his sweatshirts. I put it on for this interview.
Are you really, dude? Yeah, no, he's awesome. He talks about that stuff. You might have seen it from his stuff where he'll have an EMF reader next to his phone And then he turns it on airplane mode, and that radioactivity is gone. You know what I mean? Which is interesting. I wonder if it's completely gone or if it's some different kind of thing. But yeah, the silver line clothing seems to really do something, and it helps. You know, he did the same thing with a modem in his house. You know, he had the modem going, put a sheet of copper at the time over the modem, and it cut the radioactivity going. So right now, I mean, there's radioactivity all around us right now, in my home, in your home, everywhere. And I don't know. I don't know what that's going to leave for us as like you said, our health, but you know, something bad's going
to
happen.
Just everybody needs to just remember that, like, the end, like, I guess it like helps to be like an entrepreneur, because when you're an entrepreneur, you kind of like understand, like, whatever your goal is, that's the goal, right? So whatever, like, in between, like, that goal being true and where you are, you just reverse engineer and you make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. So like these motherfuckers with their plan, whoever it is, like, their goal is complete utter control in every aspect of our lives, for sure. Why would it not be? That's been the goal of every dictator ever in human history, right? And like, it's never been this feasible that we know of, where you truly can like own everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they already kind of enslave us through the monetary system, but it's going to get even worse because the monetary system is going to go digital through the Fed coin, right? And they'll be able to like algorithmically police all of us in real time, our ability to transact, what interest rates we get when we save, which can go negative, like all that shit. But beyond that, it's like, we won't be able to open our fucking fridge if they don't want us to be able to, because the fridge will be connected to the 5G mesh network. And they'll say, oh, your social credit score. This isn't far-fetched at all whatsoever. This is absolutely feasible right now with technology that already exists, you know, and they'll lock you out of your own fucking fridge. You know what I mean? Like, that's absolutely possible with what's coming. And the entire infrastructure, like, do you ever wonder why the 5G propaganda was, like, honestly, COVID level? Like, it was on par with Cerveza sickness. Yeah. It was like that level of propaganda. Why? It was priming us for the last like better part of a decade. Why? Nobody ever asked for that shit. And it doesn't mean that 5G won't be great, but like, there's also, it's a double-edged sword, clearly. Yeah. Why was it so strong? It's because it's an inevitability. It's, they can't function. Their vision of the future for us will not function without it. They need the short-range wireless connections for the global sensor grid. So,
well, dude, you're talking about the smart refrigerators. Have you heard of the smart toilets? I mean, these are disgusting, dude. Have you heard of this? Like, literally what it does, it like scans your shit or your piss, and it tells you like what you need more of or less of. So like, based off of your movements, you'll be able to order certain food, or you'll be able to buy certain food. This is like, again, it sounds far-fetched, it sounds goofy, but it's very realistic. Like, it
actually makes sense. Until you remember that they don't want us healthy. So what the fuck is it going to do? Tell us that we actually need to eat a salad? Of course it's not going to do that. You know what I mean? It's going to tell you to get the next pill from Pfizer.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. Yeah, it's not going to tell you that you need more magnesium or need omega-3s or whatever. It's going to say that, ooh, it looks like you may have COVID based off of your bowel movement.
Yeah, now in a 21-day lockdown, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. So I've been getting notifications every now and then asking if I want to allow the permission for contact tracing and things like that. It's like, no, I'm good. You know, I know you guys are going to do it anyway, so I'll resist. But yeah, man, it's very interesting. You know, dude, I want to get you on, if you're free on Monday nights around 9 p.m. Eastern time. Every Monday we do like a roundtable thing. We just have like revolving guests. Some people just come in one time and then, you know, whatever. But usually about 4 or 5 of us. And we just talk open topics, you know, people talk, but you're good at talking. You can go and you can get on your rants and it's good. So, I mean, if you're down, dude, your invite is there. It's with the Great Deception Podcast. My buddy Matt runs that, and he's the one that started this thing called Monday Night Master Debaters. And we have, we have a good time just talking about whatever comes to mind, dude. So, your invite's there, man.
Dude, I appreciate that, man. I might have to take you up on that offer, at least for a guest spot 1 week, man. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, you'll meet a lot of people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can just come on, see how you feel. You're welcome on anytime. And you can meet other podcasters. And I think that you should be on other shows, dude. You know, I don't know if you've been on many other podcasts, but you have a lot to offer in this community, man. It's fun stuff. So I don't know if you had any closing thoughts on NFTs, but if you do, plug away with your hard work and all the good work that you're up to, dude.
Dude, in summary, man, like, you know, there's going to be a, like right now, blockchain is like very like altruistic and innocent and fun and we're speculating, but like this technology will at some point be used against us. I'm not trying to be like a downer, you know, it just is what it is. It doesn't mean we have to adopt it, but like there will be some centrally planned blockchain where we are NFTs. We are non-fungible tokens. We are tokenized. You know what I mean? Like we will have a number assigned to us, basically, you know, that gets equated to ones and zeros. And then we are that token on that blockchain, and we will be traded, like human life or productivity, however you want to view it. It's going to be traded. We talked about the 2045 project. The last thought is, you know, everybody's probably heard of the Microsoft 666. It's actually 060606 patent.
Isn't there a 2020 in there as well, Ryan? Isn't it like 060602020?
I didn't write the full thing down, but it is like sectioned in three parts.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, you know, it all ties together, man. I'm sure there's more beyond, like, I only know what I know. Right. And I don't know what I don't know. So it's that patent though is generating cryptocurrency, which don't think of cryptocurrency. It's not like they're going to pay you in Bitcoin, dude. Like it's going to be like when cash, you know, it went from gold to cash to a number in a database that is a bank account. Right. So we literally went from gold, cash, number in database that is a bank account, to the next step, which is going to be like a cryptocurrency on this blockchain that, trust me, will be centrally controlled or controllable. Again, it's not going to be, you know what I mean? There's always going to be that aspect to it. That's just what it is. And it doesn't have to be that way, but of course it will be. And then you've got the patent like Microsoft, where they're literally trying to patent that they're going to like measure the human body performing tasks. And think about how they do this at scale. Again, it ties right into what Dennis Bushnell was saying about the global sensor grid, which is only possible through the 5G infrastructure existing, which is why there's been so much propaganda around it. They attach sensors. I mean, it says outright in the patent. I've got it written right here. I know we're wrapping up, but like basically it just says like, you know, the server is able to detect that the action is performed because the body's got sensors, and they'll be rewarded with a cryptocurrency system when it's been verified that they meet the conditions set by the cryptocurrency system. You know what I mean? This is all basically saying that it's going to be done at scale. They're turning us into little hamsters, man. Like I'm not trying to be, you know, it's on us to not accept the shit. You know what I mean? Like as humans, but if there's one thing COVID taught us too, is that a lot of people are fucking stupid too. So.
Dude, you know, it's funny. You know, it's nice that you don't want to be negative, but you also do have to be realistic. And I think that's all that you're doing. You know what I mean? You're being realistic. People want like, you know, rainbows and unicorns all day, and they don't want like truth. Like sometimes things aren't that pleasant, and we need to know it before the time comes, before it's too late. Seems like it's too late in Australia, man. I've been talking with a lot of Australians, and it's very unfortunate what's going on. It seems like it's foreshadowing what can potentially happen here. Canada is right up there with Australia. A lot of similar situations. I talk with a lot of Canadians. Dude, it's not looking pretty, man. And people are so, I mean, be honest, Ryan, do you get frustrated when like your phone doesn't download something at the right speed, or when like something glitches out on your phone?
Of course, man.
Right. So, I mean, like that, and that's not like your fault. We've been very heavily programmed, because I'm the same way. If like my, you know, Hulu or whatever buffers, I get pissed off because I pay a lot of money for internet. In my opinion, I think it's expensive. And I'm like, dude, why is this not working like this? Or why is it taking so long to upload my episode or whatever? This is how they're going to combat that. They're telling you like, hey, if you just get 5G, if you just do this next thing, you're not going to have any problems with your technology. It's going to be seamless. And then you're getting introduced to the metaverse and the NFTs and all these other things, where you won't have any problems if you just bend the knee and you just, you know, hop on board with this sinking ship. It's very interesting. So that's a good point that you brought up.
You said it, man. You pretty much said it all.
Scary stuff, dude. Well, yeah, let's plug your stuff. I know that we did it in the beginning, but you're doing cool stuff, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I'm on YouTube every day putting out content. Ryan Hogue, Passive Income. We will drop a link in the description, and, you know, check out my content, man. If y'all need, you know, I'm accessible via email too. And on like Facebook, of course, I'm on all the shit that, you know, like, oh yeah, find me on Facebook. I'm in the infrastructure. I'm in the system. You know, y'all can message me, man. If y'all have any questions, I'm happy to like respond. And, you know, my stuff's growing like pretty big now. I'm almost at 100K subscribers on YouTube. So
congratulations,
you know, my goal is really to help people make money though. Like help people, like not just like make money one time, but it's like basically creating systems. I call it planting seeds, and, you know, just kind of leveraging like how things are right now with like everything being digital, you know, everybody shops online, just carving out a piece of the pie for yourself. Not promising anybody gets rich, but like, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. You know what I mean? I have a comfortable living doing it, and that's really it. Like, it's all like actionable content too. It's like, hey, do this, you know?
Good. And you tell people how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I just want to help, man. You know what I mean? The pie is so big that we're not stepping on each other's toes here with the stuff that I talk about. I talk about selling on Amazon, Etsy, eBay, shit like that. So.
Well, good, dude. I appreciate that. And we need more honest people in that field, because there's a lot of snakes, dude. And I trust you for sure, because you have shown some things that seem very promising. You're always down to talk. You seem very accessible. So I appreciate all of that. And I appreciate the info that you give me, dude. I learned a lot here right now. So thank you so much, dude. And yeah, we'll be in touch. You got to come on one of those Monday night master debaters and we'll have some fun, you know, arguing about some different things and presenting our cases with stuff. But Ryan Hoag, thank you very much. Go check out his YouTube channel, which I will post in the description of the video. And yeah, man, take care and be safe. Stay out of that metaverse, man.
Thanks, bro.
So are you in on the NFTs or out? I'll tell you right now, I am in the middle. I started off thinking that they were BS, and now I'm like, maybe. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we may need to work from the digital space. Obviously, the episode is out on YouTube at the YouTube channel Dangerous World Podcast. But if you want to listen to this very, very interesting speech from the Davos World Economic Forum 2020 conference, head over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Gonna break it down, gonna get my analysis, read the entire thing. It's terrifying stuff. See you over there.